turn your Bibles to Revelation this morning. We'll look at a thought that I want to share with us together. I want to preach to myself again this morning. I think Brother David has said that several times. I'm grateful for the ministry that God's allowed us to be a part of. And every year in May, our president, vice president, they bring us guys together that are in leadership, and those that are they're got their eyes on about bringing up in the leadership to a time together for a couple of days that we get leadership training. And those two men have gave us biblical lessons that have not just leadership, but personal challenges to us as an individual to cause us to see ourselves, see where we stand with God. And being missionaries, I guess it's Satan does have his eyes set upon us, and he sure likes to shut our mouths and set us to the side. And we have lost quite a few missionaries down through these years with the ministry. And it seems like we got more going out the back door than it's coming in on the front side. So we do desire that you pray. And several of those men were men that Satan got a hold of and deterred them from the task at hand. And David's been teaching in the class here, and getting just on things at the time we've been in here, teaching on warfare. I think it's that is the need of the hour. Not just in the church. We see churches drying up. I don't get to travel like I do, but I go to places, churches are drying up. And the average age in a lot of churches, or many times the churches are men just as your age in this room right here. There's no young people. And that's shocking to see a church that the average age is 60 years old. And there's no young people. And that's a church drying up. And I'm glad we have a church that we got a lot of young people in, and we still run the buses, and we're trying to do all that we can do around here to rear up a generation that we're trying to make a difference. And I'm grateful for that. I'm glad to be a part of it. And so the thought I want to give to us today is this thing of complacency. Our preacher preached on it back in before the revival time. One of his points was that of complacency. And it stirred my heart again, you know, just on that one point, you know. Brother Ellis taught the lesson on complacency to us, and he took 3 days to teach the lesson. And he had a lot of stuff, and I thought I was a pretty good boy whenever I started that class, but I'm telling you, at the end of it, I got down on my knee, and I asked God to forgive me.
Amen.
Forgive me. So this is none of close to what Brother Ellis gave us, but I'm going to give us a synopsis of it, if I may. The scripture that God has burned in my heart, and I say that'll be this class. We don't leave a class with something burning.
Amen.
We ought to leave the house of God with something burning.
Amen.
We ought to leave our place with God in the morning with something burning. Will not be this the only time that you get your heart burnt. It won't be that time with God that God speaks to our hearts and causes us to see ourselves. That won't be our life. A thing of complacency is what we're going to talk about today. There's a lot of scriptures on it through the Bible. And for sake of time, I'm not going to give all. I might give you references if you want to jot them down, because it's important. That what God says about it. He ain't just started in the New Testament. He didn't finish up Revelation with it. No, it's all the way through our Bible that God dealt with people that come to that place in their life with complacency. And I think this, Paul said that in his writings. He said, these are last days. And last days brings things upon us. And this church that we're going to talk about in Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 14 is a snot that leaves out in the scripture here, the Laodicean church, which is our church age. It is the latter days of the church age. And what God says about that church, God sees down through our time, and He sees us. He sees the church. In order to burden us, that whenever we hear what God says about the church, not just this group right here, not the church, and what God sees about us, and what God thinks about us, it ain't what you think about yourself. Come on. We all get the place of being, I'm doing okay. I'm all right. Y'all get that out on the doors, don't you? Hello, we're not here to tell you about, oh, I'm all right, man. We're good. that's what they think. They're all right. And I think God's people get there as well. I'm all right. Sometimes we'll take the time when you meet the house of God and take what the preacher says from the book. I mean, that's for them sitting in the back there. That'd be good for that one over yonder. We roll it around in our mind, you know, we're all right. That's for somebody else. We're going to be able to get it for ourselves and say, God, help me. Help me. And that's what I want to try to do this morning, to address, be a help to us through the scriptures and help us get to this place that these things won't affect us. I'll give you some things to be able to overcome those things. This ain't on the negative side over there. Let me be positive at the end of it. I'm going to give you negative and give you some understanding about this. Revelations chapter number 3, verse number 14. I'll just give you these references if you want to jot them down right quick. Proverbs 6 and 9 through 11. He talked about the sluggard that just slept. 2 Chronicles 20. Verses 31 through 34, Jehoshaphat, when he's over Judah, he got a life of complacency. There in Luke chapter 12, verse number 16 through 21, Jesus spake a parable. And it wasn't the only time. He spoke it again in Luke 14. He spake another parable. You better watch when God speaks about these things. He just didn't give those parables just to be given them. He gave them the ground of a certain rich man. He got a man that had it, and he was doing all the known. And he said, well, I will lay up, and then I'll take my ease. And that's America. That's God's people. I got my retirement. Somebody just got theirs. I just take my ease. Ain't time to take ease. So in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou saith, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold and tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy shame of thy nakedness be not appeared, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit him with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down at my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit had to say unto the churches. Let's have a word of prayer in just a minute. Father, we sure love you. Thank you for this time that you have given. Ask, Lord, that you bless this word, dear Father, to our heart. And Lord, the explanation of it, God, if you has moved in my soul. God, it ain't what it need to be. Sure ain't what it used to be. asking God that you would help your Lord in these days, dear Father, in this hour, God, you've given us this book. Open our eyes of understanding, they be enlightened, dear Lord. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say unto us. Make difference in us together, dear Father, this morning. We shall be grateful to praise you and thank you for what you're able to do in our hearts together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I think the greatest thing is for us to have an understanding is what meanings are. Words. Sometimes we just take it by happen chance. Yeah, I know what that means. But if my poor education has done one thing in my personal life, and I'm grateful for Miss Judy getting me a Webster's Dictionary back whenever I got saved, because I want to know what these words meant. I'm grateful for that Webster's Dictionary, many of them, to understand what words mean. If we don't understand what this Bible means, then we're sitting back lollygagging. We need to have an understanding of what God means with these words. The definition of complacency, it's not in the Bible, that word ain't, but just the meaning of it. It's all stretched through it. Complacency is the word of Hebrew, has a meaning of undisturbed. Being undisturbed. Nothing bothers you. A formal definition of this word is feeling of quiet pleasure, secure, self-satisfied with existence of the conditions, often unaware of potential dangers that awaits us. Other definitions are this: contented. Contentment with a lower standard. You're not progressing to try to be at a better standard with God. You're content with where you're at or stepping back saying, let them take care of it. And that ain't just in labor, that's in your living. We back off from what the Scripture has to say about separating ourselves from the world. We're more contented to be, not away from away, but just on that line. I'm saying we'd be enemies to the world. The preacher's done said it, the Scripture said it. It ain't got to be in you. The world don't have to be in you. You got to be in it, but you don't have to be it being you. Because it makes that difference of how people perceive you. I like the power of God resting upon me. I don't know about you. In my witness. You know, what good is if you're going to try to share this Scripture out there and there's nothing in behind it? It's just like a person in your attitude whenever you do witness. If there's no love inside of you giving it out, the Bible says you're tinkling cymbal, a sounding brass. You're out there rattling. I don't want to be one that's just rattling. How Paul says, empty wagon rattles the loudest. We came up on the farm with a iron wheel wagon. Some of you don't know what them iron wheel wagons were. We had one of those things. And I'm telling you, that thing rattled across all the rocks and everything, every little bump out there, that whole wagon rattled. It was empty. When one becomes spiritually contented, the following attributes arise: mundaneness, boredom, lack of interest. There's the word apathy. Get apathetic about things. You just ain't interested in doing nothing. Lack of energy to do anything. That's spiritual energy, not just physical energy. We get up to the age right there, we understand what the physical is all about. So when we do anything, so, my soul, what has happened here? I do just a little bit of something. It seems like every bone in my body aches. I ain't talking about that. There ought to be some things inside of us, this thing of lack of energy, of the weakness in our spiritual side. Willing to step out a little farther with God, making that difference. Settled into some easy routine of insignificance. What are you trying to produce? Just kind of wandering along. There's the same thing about the definition of these things that order pierce our heart and see where we at. God, let me see where I was at. And if we don't see where we stand with God, then we're blinded in this world. Our ears are shut to the voice of our Creator. Apathy applies to the mind. It's impassive. A calmness of the mind, incapable of being upset about anything. It's important that Christians don't get to this place and avoid complacency as much as they can. Never allow yourself to settle down. Surround yourself with people who will challenge you to grow. Remember who chose you. You have chosen to be around and let them play a major role in your life. Do you all understand of what the Scripture said? Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So is our countenance with our friends. I like to get around people that are sharp with our ministry. And I'm telling you, there's men that's under me, as far as in ministry-wise, that are sharp men. And I like to get around them. Why? Iron sharpeneth iron. They sharpen me up. Because I don't want to get in that place of man, I'm all right, man. I'm 66 years old, man. I'm just gonna chill out right here. Rest, but no. I ain't getting that. If those young pups don't challenge this old man, then I'm not around the wrong crowd.
Amen.
And I don't want to be around that crowd that just kind of lay it back. They don't want to do nothing. I want to be among those guys that do something in my life that put some edge on me that make me a different man. Said to you, me and last week, I had to go. Me and my wife been praying about her family. We kind of backed off from that outfit. It just seemed like, man, that's all they wanted to do is drink and smoke and just. So I said, we ain't never been invited. I said, we kind of put a word out there, but we ain't never been invited. So her sister called, and so we went over yesterday. It's grieving to the spirit, isn't it, to be around a crowd? They're out on the deck. I went out there, stepped out there just for a little time, but I said, no, this ain't where I need to be. I stepped back in. It's grieving. I sat in a chair there, and I talked with several of them, come in and back inside and sat down and talked, and trying to be a witness. I'm saying is, God, Jesus did that thing. He sat among the heathen, didn't he?
Amen.
And he had compassion on them.
Yes. Yes.
I told Mr. Judah, I said, it all cut against my ground, but I said, we're there. And I said, there's going to be a day, the time's going to come, the phone call's going to come.
Yes. Yes.
I said, if we're not that what we need to be, I said, the phone call would not come. I said, let's do what we can do. I appreciate you praying. It's a long ways down that road, and you got family exactly like mine.
Amen.
you're burdened about it. Like we all should be burdened for. And we ought to do all we can do and try to come to that place of making a difference in our generation. Never back up. I apologize to God for backing up. I don't want to back up from a kinfolk. They're going to hell. I'm going to do everything I can do to try to reach them. A complacency is a trickery of Satan. It's to get us in our mind and in our attitudes and just get us to a place that what's the use? It's a lot of use. God wants to use it. It's frustrating when people do not do what they are supposed to do, but it is no excuse for our own complacency. Don't get this place in your personal life that you start looking around and because you want to do these things and you look around and you see these others not doing. Don't look back there. Look forward. Keep looking forward. There's others looking upon us and they're watching us and they're might not be there where we're at, but I'm saying they're coming. I like texts every once in a while from people. I'm in that arena with our guys. That's how we communicate. I got a guy this morning. Early. About as early as I was this morning. Sent me a text. It's a little after 6. Been working with him a little bit. He's had some difficulties in ministry. Just want to say thank you. He said, God, this morning, just thank the Lord. He allows us to work together in his ministry. I shot him one back. I said, I'm glad to be able to work with you. People looking. People watching. You don't know where they're at sometimes. They know where you're at. Place it, see, we'll get us to that place. We'll give you grit. I don't want to get to that place. Let's consider God's warning to this Laodicean church. A warning. Let's read it again. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Admonishing scriptures there in my heart, my life, that God says to us creatures that God created from the very beginning, that God has a desire to be in us, through us, and bring us to a place that he wants us to, hey, if you'll hear and get clothed right and do right, he says, you're going to have a place with me, my Father's throne. That's exciting, man.
Amen.
that God would look at such as us and have a desire that we would sit with Him in His Father's throne. Biblical contentment. Biblical contentment. Not fleshly contentment. Don't get this thing wrong. We get contented, but there is a right contentment, and the Bible contentment is what we need in our personal life. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Listen to the scriptures. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we will carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. We said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state therewith to be content. And I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Instructed. His father taught him how to live his life. But it took that time. He was one that he thought he had it all and knew it all. He'd been to college. But God had to get him on that Damascus road and bring him down a notch or two, didn't he? So he could understand where you at. Then take him on the backside of the desert and spend some time with him to give him the gospel we have today. I'm grateful that Paul submitted that, but I'm also grateful that God came to me. August 5, 1975, He spoke to my heart. He had something He had for me to do.
Amen.
I'm grateful for that. God has something for us all to do. In Israel's day, there was a guy named Amos. Amos 6:1. God said some things there to that group of people. You know, that Israel is a crowd that is always, God says, He said, they're always going a whoring after other gods. I've been good to them. I bring them out. I do all these things. I said, I don't understand these things. They become stiff-necked. I think some of the saved folk today can get a little stiff-necked toward God. He said to Amos 6:1, "Woe to them that are in ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief among the nations to whom the house of Israel came." He said, woe unto you. What's going on? Haggai, I put it this way. Haggai 1:1-6. And he said, in the second year of Darius the king, and the sixth month of the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord unto Haggai, the prophet, and to Zerubbabel, the son of Sirach, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jochebed, and the high priest, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time of the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord unto Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye that dwell in sealed houses, and this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sworn much, you bring little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you say, you're not full with drink. You are clothed, but you're none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in bags with holes." That sounds like America. And he's talking about Israel. And we're falling right down the trail that Israel was and the church is. They're Jewish people. God's chosen. We grafted in. We're special chosen. God wants to make a difference. The causes of complacency. ignorance. You don't, you see, y'all don't call me ignorant. I ain't. God is. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Israel. They didn't have this. They didn't. They had the Old Testament. Moses' law. They still hold to that. But the church today, we got a book. 66 something that God said to Israel and to the church. Because God's interested. God don't just think of us being ignorant about what God thinks about it. Complacent about prayer, soul winning, Bible study, meditation. You have time for God? No, I don't say you take time. Do you have time? How do you budget out your time? They said it about. He said, well, you'll be wondering how on this retirement thing. I ain't got no time for nothing. You wonder how do I do anything around the house? But. What's that? I don't understand what that is. Missionaries carry around with them all the time. It's a date book. It's a planner book. Brother Kerr says, said it, and I agree with him, my time's not my own no more. It's not mine. But I can't let the ministry of what God's called me to do to take the place of my time with Him. I can't do that. Do you know why preachers fail today? They got to figure out how to outline. Oh yeah, they get good at it. They know how to, they got that harmony language. They've been to college. They know how to put them rhyming words down through there and say all these right things to move the folk. They got it all figured out. And that's the reason why churches are failing today, because pastors are becoming sounding brass and tinkling cymbals.
Amen.
Are you listening? If my pastor can't get in that pulpit up there and move my heart in that Bible, who can? There will be time with God. If God ain't worked on him, then what he's got to say to us can't work on us. You understand that? That's the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God gave him flows through the message of the words of God, and they have something that grabs us down our inside down there to bring us to a place. Hey, man, there's something ain't right about that, little Brad. Now, what's he going to do about it? That's always the end of the whole matter. Our timing of what this thing, we're so caught up. We better take time for God. We better spend time with God. We ought to have that place whenever of that thing of not getting complacent in a prayer life. Praying. Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord bless this food. I do it 3 times a day, Rev. Really? Where's your prayer list at? Where's those things that you take before the throne of grace that should count? It's there. Causes of complacency is selfishness, ignorance, and selfishness. Haggai 1:4. We read it. He said, is it time for you, O ye that dwell in the sealed houses, that this house lay in waste? Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own and not the things of Jesus Christ. selfishness, self-centeredness.
Straight to mind, you see him out there.
Who called him?
Ooh.
They learned it, I learned. No. You don't look at this generation and see what they're doing today. They were taught by some of the elite. Mamas and daddies. You say that's awful hard. Oh, is it? If mamas and daddies wouldn't be so self-centered, the multiplication wouldn't have came out on their kids of being self-centered. Self-seeking. Self-glorifying. We're there in America, church. We're there. Selfishness. Distractions of the world. Luke 8:14 says, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard the word, and went forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. You have to get the weeds chopped out of the garden, don't you, Brother John? It takes a hoe. A hoe handle. Two hands, a hold of it. Same with this piece of dirt right here we're living in. God plants seed in us for it to come to perfection. God has a desire for it. The distractions, two major distractions of people in the world today, in the church today, is work and pleasure. If you could go to work and not be here today, if somebody said, "I need you to do this right here," would you say, "Well, no, this is Sunday, I can't be with you today"? Or we say, "Well, we got to take us a few days. Me and Mama, we got to get along. We got to take a few days." And it's always on Saturday and Sunday. Or you're traveling to on Saturday and Sunday, and you're traveling back on Saturday and Sunday on your pleasure trip. Come on. What is that? Complacency. It's a part of this thing of what causes that thing to start eating in on there. And life and the riches and success has crept into church. I mean, we are today of a church family that has the money. Live in our sealed houses, but the house of God. God wants to move to the house of God, and things are deterred at the house of God because God's people are more interested in their successful living and their riches. Strife in the church. Two kinds of churches today. The overt arguing and fighting that leads to division, or the covert feeling and talking about the things that lead to complacency. Gotta hurt. Results of complacency. Stunts the ministry's growth. Church growing. You have to look around and ask yourself, is the church growing? You say, "Well, it's not like it used to be." I understand that. We're just drifting on down in this lifestyle. But listen, there ought to be that in our house. The results of complacency is when a church does not grow. Ministries does not grow. Does not expand out and say, "Hey, we got this." You know, Brother David, he has a desire. The bus ministry in Brown after reaching this community for Christ is a thing that's been in this church for years. Blackburn brought it here. I know we came through a time period where one didn't like none of these bratty kids and things, but I'm grateful that we have a man of God that's hit you back in this place right here to get back to the community. You listening? two girls trusting to be here this morning. We picked up on the buses years ago. Grandkids of those. Jean Petit. Petites. Went across the girls. At the store yesterday. I'll be here today. Promise me. Sin's got a hold of them like had a hold of Grandpa, Grandma. Like he got a hold of their mama and their daddy. What can we do? Is do all we can do to see the thing grow. Backsliding and backbiting. Hindrances of the conviction of sinners. Is it past time? Judgment of God. I guess neither. Just hush. The cure of complacency. Jesus laid that there in Revelation chapter number 3. Jesus laid that. Because you're lukewarm. And he says there's two steps. That's all he's asking. Just two steps is asking. Repent. But just, not just repent. He said be zealous and repent. That means get under the conviction of God of who we are. Not. No, you just bring it down to who I am. And tell God, I'm sorry. And be zealous about that. You must allow God to do the spiritual inspection, not allow God. The sweet Holy Ghost of God, the Word of God, bring those things. Psalm said it this way, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. Humble yourself before God. James 4:9 says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. You must repent, Revelation says in chapter 3, verse number 19. And rebuke and chasten and zealous for those that we repent. He said, I'm going to do those things unless you repent. What is this for? He's a coming. He's a coming. And he's looking for us to be ready for his coming. But know ye this, that if the good man of the house had known and watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, will find so doing. Like his Bible. Sure does speak to us. Helps us. Gets us that place to have an understanding that God loves his church. He wants to do something for us, in us and through us. And let's help us. This thing of complacency. Don't let it get in us to ruin us. Let's be able to lay it. I see in the church. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know whether it repented, but the Lord asked us to repent. So let's find ourselves that place of repentance. Lord, thank you for this time.